Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dad used to have a couple of phrases that he would use quite often that became sort of a joke among us children. They didn't really mean anything. They were just kind of verbal sighs or acknowledgments. For example, I don't know that I ever spoke to my father when he didn't say at least a couple of times, "And how?" Or, "My, oh my." Or, "Who'd have thought?" Or, finally, "Well, what do you know?" But my dad never really wanted to know what I knew when he asked me, "What do you know?" He just meant, "Wow," or, "That's interesting," or, "Isn't that something?" Which, by the way, was also one of his phrases. But when that question was posed by Socrates, the great Greek philosopher, to all of the leading teachers and politicians and artisans of the day, he really did want to know what they knew. You see, the Oracle of Delphi had said, had proclaimed Socrates to be the wisest man in all of Athens. And Socrates didn't believe that to be true. And thus, he went throughout Athens asking everyone he could find what they knew in an attempt to prove the oracle wrong. But after questioning everyone that he could find, Socrates ultimately concluded that he was indeed the wisest man in all of Athens. For while all the others pretended to know things which they obviously and clearly didn't know, he was the only one who would readily admit that he really didn't know anything for certain. Well, much like Socrates, the Pharisees in our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 9, they too really did want to know what this formerly blind man knew about Jesus. They wanted to know how he had been healed, who had done it, and what he knew about the man who had done it. But this formerly blind man couldn't answer many, if any, of their questions, because he really didn't know a whole lot about Jesus, nor about the process, the spitting in the mud in the ground, making mud, putting on his eyes. He didn't really understand how that whole thing worked. So the Pharisees then went to this man's parents, and they asked them what they knew about this whole healing incident. But they couldn't really answer any more than their son had. So they went back again to this formerly blind man and questioned him again. And this was his brilliant answer to their tiresome interrogation. He said, "Whether he, Jesus, is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, now I see." I love that answer. What an awesome response. The Pharisees could harass him and question him and doubt him and challenge him and insult him and contradict him at every turn. They could get mad at Jesus for breaking the Sabbath laws, and they could call him a sinner all they wanted to. But one thing that they couldn't explain, challenge, contradict, or deny was the fact that this man was blind and now he could see. And for this formerly blind man, that's all that mattered. He didn't really need to know anything else about Jesus. In being healed by Jesus, he knew all that he needed to know. For his whole life, he'd been blind. Think about that for a moment. Never saw his father's face. Never seen his mother's smile. Never seen the sun peek over the hills in the morning or hide behind the trees as it set in the evening. Never had beheld the majesty of the mountains or the calm serenity of a quiet country stream. And now, because of Jesus, he could see all that and more. You tell me, what more did he need to know about Jesus? I come across people all the time in the church who are struggling with many questions in their lives about life and about faith and about God and such. And usually these struggles take place when these folks are going through a particularly stormy period of their lives. And whether that stormy period be psychological or emotional or physical, from illness to depression to conflicts in relationships, whatever they are, they usually also frequently bleed over then into their spiritual lives as well. And I see people and I hear people begin to doubt God. And they become uncertain about their faith because of all the questions that they have that they can't get answers to. But one truth remains the same amid all of the questions and amidst all the doubt. And it's the truth that Jesus died and he rose again to forgive them and to claim them as his own. And no matter how much, because of their issues, they at that moment doubt God's love or they doubt his sovereignty or his providence in their lives. I have never once in all my years, ever heard a single Christian ever doubt the events of the cross or the empty grave. For the reality is that even amidst their pain and confusion, they know that they were born in a position of blindness, and now somehow, because of Jesus, they see. They can see God's love, even if they can't always feel it. And that's what I would encourage you to hang on to today. You may not know, ever, why God let your child die, or your spouse get sick, or your marriage fall on hard times. You may not understand why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. You may not be able to explain the heart and the mind of God. But you do know that whereas once you were blind to him, you were born outside of a relationship with him. Now you can see him in his son Jesus. For you have been reconciled to God, and you have been forgiven of your sins. God has adopted you to be a member of his family and to be an heir of his heavenly kingdom. And you know all of this to be true because you were given faith. And because you were baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, there are a lot of things in my life that even I, as a pastor, I don't know. I don't know why my mom and dad's marriage had to fail and they got divorced. I don't know why I developed a chronic back issue and why I have double vision. I don't know why my best friend and fellow pastor and husband and father died as such a young man, or why my dad and I had a falling out in our relationship in the last years of his life. I don't know why some people have more than their fair share of pain and suffering, and why other people seem to go through life with everything going their way. I don't know if God has a plan to save those people in the jungles of Brazil who have never heard his name proclaimed, or a plan to save the babies that are aborted before they're born. I don't know what heaven will be like. I don't know why some people are saved and other people are not. But one thing I know, I was blind. And now I see. I know that I'm saved because I have a Savior who loves me, who came into this world to suffer and to die and to rise again for me. I pray that you would let that same truth and that same knowledge inspire, inform, and comfort you always. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.